Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And like always, I have a question for you. Is your soul in need of some care? You see, if we never attended to the hair on our heads, over time we would possess a giant mess of disorganization that could actually become harmful to our health and our well-being. Our soul, our psuche, our true inner self, it functions in a similar way. We need to tend to it or comb it through if we're able to bring order out of our internal chaos. So join me now as we begin a series that will be interlaced over time, not all at once, as we examine the Psalms' greatest hits. These times of combing will serve us by bringing order out of the chaos that emerges within the deepest part of our being. It's my hope that this series will allow us all to see beyond everything. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for coming back for another episode of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host. My name is Kevin Winder. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and Dunn coach, among many other things, a lot of hats that I wear, just like you. So glad that you could tune in. Thank you to all you new folks who are subscribing and telling your friends. If you have enjoyed this podcast, if you like this content because it challenges, it reframes the way you've seen things, then I invite you to share it with your friends. Invite them to come and listen. Tune into my either podcast, or you could get this all written down in my blog coming to you every week in the newsletter called Winder's Windshield. Either way, when you talk to your friends about it, you'll not only be helping spread the word, but you will have an interesting conversation. You'll have something to talk about, something that will make the time that you spend with others meaningful. And that's the whole point. I'm so glad to have you guys join and be a part of this larger conversation. So folks, today we are beginning a series, but this is not a series like all other series. You know, when you have a series, typically it's one, then the next, then the next, then the next. This is going to be kind of an ongoing series that I'm going to deliberately weave in and out of the other content that I am bringing into this podcast. And why am I doing that? Well, first of all, it's the subject matter. The subject matter is the Psalms' greatest hits. These are essentially songs and poetry that have come from the heart of David, Solomon, and these people reflect an amazing inner experience, a spiritual walk with God, a view that so often is missed in our own world and culture. It's unobscured by traditional religion, cultural frameworks, things like that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just cherry pick some of these that are in the scripture and play them out, interact with them. And it's my hope and prayer that this will allow us to take pause. And like I said in the introduction, it's like a comb going through the hair. It takes chaos and it brings order to it. And that's something that needs to take place deep on our inside. I mean, we live a lot of times in our world with a lot of angst, maybe anger, frustration, stress for sure. Sometimes we don't even know where it all comes from. We don't know how it's all got jumbled up in there, but we're not the people we know we could be. We like to blame that on our circumstances, our lack of income, our job, our commute, whatever it might be. But in reality, we know we're not where we need to be. And this is our first indication that our soul needs some care. So I hope that what you'll do with these, as I'm going to try and move us out of an intellectual debate and into an inner experience as much as possible through this mode of operation. And so today, where else can we start? This is going to be podcast number 183, and I simply call it The First. That's 183 podcast called The First. And of course, it would have to start with The First, right? I mean, where else can we start? But at the very beginning, if we're going to do an examination of Psalms, then one of the Psalms' greatest hits is the first single that ever rolls out, and that is Psalm number 1. And like I said earlier, this is not a deep dive, exegetical, series to kind of titillate our intellect. If the Psalms are not experienced deep within the soul, if there's not a combing through of the chaos within, then the words are simply lost on us. If we spin these into a theology, we have really missed the larger purpose, right? And my purpose in this series is to kind of cut through the exoskeleton and the veneer, the framework that we use and depend on so much in our head-heavy environment, and really allow the bottomless well of love that's captured in these words to burst out and take us wherever it might take us. You see, this is kind of an inward journey. It's kind of a turning loose. I want it to be a place where we can experience something. Are you ready for that? This is not so much about being taught. This is something that I pray and hope will be caught. And so the rhythm and the pace and the timing of this podcast will be slightly different. And I invite you, if you want to revisit some of the words, the content, to go to my blog called thriveinexile.com. You can read it there. If you're not a part of the newsletter, you can access it here. But as we get going, can I invite you to just take a deep breath? If you're driving, if you're running, if you're in a place of solitude, if you're not, try and find a place of inner spaciousness. Find a place where you can just allow the words to drip over you, to pour over you, to help you to hear, to feel, to connect, to comb through that which is deep, deep within you. Okay? So let's begin. Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor who stands in the way of sinners, nor who sits in the seat of scoffers, but his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he or she meditates day and night. You see, the whole point of being blessed, right? This is what it says. Blessed is the person who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Blessed means that there is a substantive difference, a qualitative, quantitative value to living in the flow of God. Do you see that? Blessed means you gain some kind of advantage or perspective that is often missed by others. It's not that it's unavailable and that you're special and you get it and they don't. It's that it's available to all, but most of us are so distracted or sleepy that we're not awake to it. But there's something qualitatively different, quantitatively different when we live in the flow of God. But our motivations are a huge thing here. And if our motivation is really personal advantage, then we've really missed the entire point, right? Our motivation can't be to outdo somebody else, to win. If competition is the ruler of the heart, then we've already lost. If we see the world as a zero-sum game and how can I get mine, we're already missing the blessing. And so how do we know if our motives are pure? It's simple. What brings you delight? I mean, what do you really cherish? What do you pursue when no one is watching? Right? What would you live with and do if you had unlimited resources available to you? What would you give your life to? How would you spend your very last day or your very last hour? You see, these questions that are common in coaching press something out of us that is vital, right? We need to purify our motives. You see, purifying our motives involves a process of gradual slowing. And you really, really see this in that first paragraph that we just read. You see, the wrong motives lead to a false life. They stem from a person who doesn't really know who they are. They're still walking around with a fake ID. And the false life is always running to something or from something. It's a climber. It's a hider. It's always doing rather than being. And can you feel that tension in your life? Is that where this inner stress, this angst, this pain, this person you don't really know is coming out? Is that where it's all coming from? Are you stuck on the doing loop rather than learning how to be? You know, as we begin to listen to our existential angst, the running gives way to walking, as this passage says. The walking yields to sitting, and the sitting allows the soliloquy of the soul to emerge. Now, I use that word intentionally. A soliloquy is when you're kind of talking out loud. It's like in a play when the actor says what he's thinking so that the audience can hear. But the soliloquy of the soul is when you're just pouring yourself out, sharing who you are, the deepest questions that emerge in the existential reality that is your life, whether or not anybody's watching, right? It's the sitting, it's the stillness that allows this soliloquy, which is the word in the Hebrew text, to emerge. See, this has always been the path. We see it in every spiritual tradition. You got to stop running. You got to stop standing. You got to sit. We need to all be still and know. Right? We must be still and know. It's mapped out on every single soul that has ever existed. We know this to be true, and yet the stillness horrifies us. But somehow, no matter who you are, where you are, you've always somehow found yourself sitting by a stream, a lake, or an ocean, haven't you? Bodies of water emit this because there's a flow. And I think it's the flow inside, the existential flow of God within us that's seeking a physical place to relate. It's a place of flowing on the outside. So a stream, a river, an ocean, a lake. This is the place to sit and be. This is where your existential moment emerges. This is what it means to sit. And you see, it's easier to distract ourselves with scoffers and doubters, isn't it? Right? We always wonder what everybody else is going to think. We love our team's pundits, and we love talk radio. And so we just distract ourselves with people who don't really believe. Or we like to label the other team as those who don't really believe. They don't get it. They're the stupid ones, the foolish ones, the dumb ones. Aren't you glad you tuned in to be on this team? It's convenient to follow the herd into the anesthesia of a busy life. And that's what this whole process is about. Unplug. Just be for a little bit. You see, everybody's doing it is the slogan of our life. And before long, we would just whiz down this congested superhighway, led all the way to our ruin. And we're led not by the voice within that calls us to stillness and being, but the electrified voices from without that are shouting behind us to go and do. And so let's return to the words of the psalm. Let us hear them. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in the season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he or she does, he or she prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. What does that mean? See, is it any wonder that there's so much pain and suffering in the world? I mean, with so many living disconnected from our source, we just kind of blow around from one thing to the next, all the while asking if any of it matters. I mean, how often have you heard this question? What's the point of it all? How many times have you sat there in the parking lot as you pulled up to your work, facing another day in the cubicle, or on the phone, or in the hall, and you've just asked yourself, what is the point of all this? Where's that existential question coming from when you're stuck in traffic, looking at all the other people stuck in traffic? What is the point? You see, that emerges from a disconnected soul. This is not integration. This is disintegration. The disintegrated life cannot answer an existential question this deep. Do you understand that? There can be no meaning to what we've concluded is just a random collision of events. Finding one's motives is the soul work which is removed far from the person who can't even find themselves. I mean, if you don't know who you are on a deep ontological level, you'll never really understand what motivates you. You're in anesthesia. You're just floating along, sleeping. You see, dimmed sight potentiates into blindness, which dries us up and detaches us further. And I think that's the image that the psalmist wants us to say. The detached, disintegrated life dries out and blows every which way. It's not anchored. But somehow we know it's not this way for everybody, right? We look around and we see those who don't blow around like we do. They seem to have more connection, more answer, more groundedness. We wonder, is it their job? Is it their income? Is it their family? What is it? You see, it's the circumstances of life that would destroy us only seem to empower the others, right? I mean, the disease and the diagnosis that you got is ruining everything while it's turning somebody else's life into something amazing. The fact that you got fired or left out or picked over, somebody else got picked instead of you for the raise, is eating you alive while it's creating opportunity for somebody else. The hurricane force winds, they don't disrupt everybody. They don't seem to desiccate and dry out those who are connected to their source. And we know this intuitively, that integration is the depth of our being. We know that. A relational experience with Maker, that's what allows a transfer of strength and wisdom and sight that makes all the difference. Like, we know that, but we don't trust the systems that try and invite us into that, and for good reason. So many of them are just a shell with no contents. And so let's go back to the words of the psalmist. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, if you're like most Americans, and you grew up in the last 100 years, which we all did if you're a living, breathing being, you immediately took those words and put them into a framework, the ultimate existential quagmire of heaven and hell. But that's not the intent of the author. I think what he's saying is that suddenly our motivations are back on the examination table. You can't ask these kinds of questions. You can't live in this kind of tension and stress, which is there beautifully as a gift to awaken you. It's the needle prick on the half-paralyzed foot that suddenly hurts, that is so amazing, right? Will we slow enough to sit and just be loved? Will you? Can you sit long enough to be loved, to receive love, to recognize that you, at your deepest point of being, are love? Will we sit long enough for the light of truth to shine upon us, revealing every insecurity and scar that we've adopted as ourself? Do you realize that? All of these places that you go in your head that where you feel like a flunky, like you don't measure up, like you're not good enough, like you fell on your face and there's no recovery. All of that is the inner self-critic, your inner Sennacherib, pointing out something that isn't true. It's making you think you are what you've done, but that's not who you are. See, will we forfeit this fake ID for the carrying card of the beloved? See, or are we just going to sit there and flee this kind of illumination and scurry like a cockroach into the shadow beneath the fridge? Right? There's a part of us that wants to avoid this kind of light, the shining light into the soul. And there's a tension there that says, just get it. It's uncomfortable. I want to just go away. I want to numb myself. I want to go back. I want to take the red pill. But the other part of you knows that the examination light exposes all that needs to be combed through. See, one motive feels like dying, but it leads to life. Another motive feels like survival, but it's actually death. The law of love has ensured that no soul will go through life without experiencing this truth. You see, we all come to the light of truth, and we all have this gut reaction to recoil from the light. We all have this cockroach that wants to avoid exposure and run back into the shadow. See, the law of love has ensured that nobody will miss it. Each coming second is our next chance at change. Each tick of the clock is the great throne room of judgment. You see, the law of love consumes us one way or another. See, we grow connected to love through being, and it's all that we can think about. That's what the author's saying. Or we hide from love in our doing, and we give thought to anything else. And so where do you find yourself? I'm willing to bet that any suffering you're enduring has to do with you skimming over the depth of your life. It's you missing love. Love that is part and parcel to who you are. You're not connected to that. You think you're so much less than that. And you're not. You see, the true soul is found when we lose ourselves in love. The bend or twist of the false, which is what it means to say the wicked, right? They remain lost. That part of us will remain lost like a shadow trying to convince others that it's real. And so what will it be for us? Will we keep on running? Will we keep on standing, or will we slow down and actually sit and be and experience the love of God that is coming up to us, welling up, as James Finley would say, in and as our very life? Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today.